When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to Rat Salad Review. Today we are joined with John and Lothar from the band Sacred Dawn. Hello, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Good meeting you, thanks.
Yeah, good meeting you too. Actually, we were supposed to do this interview, I think maybe last year or sometime. My schedule just keeps changing, and Ben keeps throwing bands at me all the time, and I'm trying to find other bands too. So it's just been a long time trying to get you on this show, and I'm glad you finally made it here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on. And you guys, you released an album last year called Dismal Swamp, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I actually listened to it today. I listened to it a couple times, and it's very, very good. And
Thank you.
Yeah, and you guys have been doing this for a while. Now, John, you're a newer member to the band, right?
Well, no, actually, I go back to the beginning with Otar. He moved here to Chicago with a job. He wanted to get back into music, had a couple guys that was in the band previously. We crossed paths, filled the rest of the spots and recorded Gears of the Machine and kind of went forward from there. So I've been involved with the band from the beginning, stepped out of the band, did some things, moved away, came back. And, you know, most recently, well, it's 3.5 years ago now. Came back and Lothar and I said, you know what, we've got more in the tank. Why don't we just, you know, see what we can do? And then the pando hit. And basically wrote Dismal Swamp, you know, during that time. And Lo was doing a little bit of touring with the Skull as well. So we just took our time with it. And lo and behold, we put our third album out last September.
Very cool. And Lothar, you've had this band for quite a while now, a couple of years. And
you've been
through so many different lineup changes too.
Yeah. Officially formed January of 2005 based over conversations, and I already had some demoing that I was previously recording with an old drummer friend of mine from North Carolina. So I already had a few songs in the tank, and the drummer that I was talking to was also in a band with me back in the 90s, and so he had moved to the Chicago area because he was in the Army for a bit, and we started working up some of the old songs, but also some of the new ones that I had been kind of tooling around with. So originally the very first gig Sacred Dawn went out, we were a 3-piece band. But I like working with other guitar players. I like dual harmonies. It just, to me, it's a thicker sound.
Yeah. Well, especially when
we're
playing live
that way. And so it was necessary that we did need to find another guitar player, and we started going on the hunt, and we happened to be playing a New Year's Eve show.
Was that, and I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Was that Sacred Dawn's first gig as a three-piece, that show?
That would have been the third gig.
Okay, so very early on to that is when our paths crossed, and pick it up from there.
Yeah, it was the third gig that we were doing. We were playing with a Metallica tribute band, and John was there to see a buddy of his play.
Yeah.
So he came outside and talked to me and introduced himself and wanted to give a shot at trying out for the band. I was like, well, okay, we're looking, this is perfect, right?
I thought a second guitar would really lend itself well to Sacred Dawn, and quite honestly, you know, stuff that I cut my teeth with a Megadeth tribute called High Speed Dirt. We've been around for 20 plus years.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I cut my teeth. But, you know, stuff that I would write, I'm listening to Sacred Dawn for the first time, and I'm like, that's very similar to stuff I write. So when I approached Lothar, in the band, I said, you know, I think I could help you guys out as a second guitar player, because I had semi-retired from the Megadeth thing. And, you know, I was in the industry with artist relations and doing some things, so I knew I could help from that side as well. And once again, we gave it a try, and the rest is history. And we've had a long run, you know, some stops and starts for legitimate reasons. And, you know, we were happy to come back together several years ago and start writing this album again.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys didn't really give up, because, you know, like all that starting and stopping thing, you know, could really discourage, you know, you musically and everything. I that happened to me too. I've been in a couple of bands and, you know, things just happen and you just, you grow far, you know, you just don't want to do it anymore, you know, because you're just tired of all the annoyances, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of it is because of life. He said, it's like, you know, it's a lot easier when you're a young kid, you know, teenager. It's like, the responsibility level. So you don't think about that sort of thing. It's the older you get, it really is harder, but it takes a lot more dedication as well to keep bands together and to want to do it.
And you know what the thing I can add to that is, and I'm not going to speak for Lothar, but I would bet he would agree with me. You know, whether you're young or whether you're, you know, where we're at now with Sacred Dawn and our, you know, careers as musicians, the thing is, even though there are all those challenges and there's the drama, I mean, there's a lot of challenges. That's why a lot of bands do get discouraged and they just stop.
Yeah.
The thing is, again, just for me, I'm an old codger, but I've got more left in the tank. I mean, that passion is there. And as long as that's there, yes, those challenges are very frustrating and you deal with them the best you can, but you just deal with it and move forward, because the day that you say you just absolutely will not deal with that anymore is the day that passion's gone and you're done playing. But I can't see that right now.
No. And then admittedly, you know, I got involved with a couple of other projects during the time at Sacred Dawn was heading towards doing the second record, which there was a lot of lineup changes, because really the only guy from the first record that was on the second record was Joey Vega, the bass player.
Okay.
So we got a keyboard player, different guitar player, and a different drummer.
Yep. It's like phase two of the bass.
It was kind of a phase two. It was a different record. It was interesting. I mean, you know, we play songs off of it and it's great. We weren't really a heavy keyboard driven band. And that's one thing that I kind of realized going into it, was like, there was some songs that was like, weren't really designed around keyboard. So what do you do with it? And he kind of came later in as when the songs were already written.
Right.
But there was a lot of songs like, man, this screams for keyboard. And it actually made some of the songs better. But it was a mix. So when we came back to this, it's like, there's songs that we have keyboards that really could stand to be on it, but we really kind of wanted to get back to the original roots of guitar driven metal.
More straight edge.
Yeah.
Yep.
And where the keyboards need to be,
mm-hmm.
I play them, or even on like the opening track, Das Chaos, I got the keyboard player from Spillage, Paul Rao, do some organ parts, because I wanted to get that kind of old early 70s kind of rock organ sound.
Did you notice the keyboards when you were listening to the album? But again, yes, they're a little bit more subdued. They're more complimentary than anything. And that's really kind of what we were going for.
Yeah, that's what fits with your guys' music too. You don't want something that's just like overblown and like always there. You know what I'm saying?
Not that kind
of overtaking.
Yeah. There's a time and place for it, but it's like,
yeah, definitely.
But not constant. And it's like, some songs just don't need it. So what do you do with it? Well, you know, either not have it or find a way to put it in.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why that was a different approach for this record. And I think it's kind of how we're going to move forward, to be honest with you. It's comfortable. And we're back to what the original lineup was, because now Brad Sabathny has been playing with us. He's back in the fold from the Gears of the Machine record.
He recorded Gears with us. And boy, it's like almost bookends, even though that kind of denotes a little finality. Don't mean to imply that, but I'm just, it's what goes around comes around. Brad is back into the band after many, many years, and it's pretty much the classic lineup together again. And I think we definitely want to start working on material for the next album here.
And there's already songs that we didn't put on this one where we're like, let's work on them a little bit, you know, just a little more tweaking, but also too, it's we wanted to do vinyl length,
right?
So we kept it on.
I think that's the best thing to do.
Some, it makes you want.
I think in the last probably maybe like 10 years, there have been bands that just put like the whole length of CD or a whole, you know, and it's just like 75 minutes of music, and it's like, all right, about people's 50 minutes.
Spans,
yeah, right. It's like
they don't have any.
No,
but I think the songwriting gets diluted.
Right, it's got to be. There's a sweet spot, you know, and it's usually around 45, maybe 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
After like that, you're like pushing it.
leave them wanting more, right?
Exactly, right. Exactly.
That's, so we picked what we felt worked for this record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it also makes people who listen to it, like you said, nobody has the attention span, so they do listen. It's like what, 45, 46 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And right around they're gonna go back and listen to it again because, you know, it went by so fast because it's very enjoyable to listen to it. There's not any bad songs on it. There's no filler songs on it. There's no room to have any filler songs on it because it's not long enough to have that. So
right.
It just plays through and you can, you know, you want to go back and listen to it again and again and again. So
and thank you for acknowledging that, man. That's very cool. And, you know, that's really what we were attempting to do. And we're pretty proud of the fact that that was the result. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the way we structured the songs from beginning to end, we had a specific flow we wanted it to feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you go back into the 80s, too, like all the best albums are only 45 minutes long or even sometimes shorter than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the best way to go, I think. I do that with my band, too. I said, nobody wants to hear us playing for hours and hours and hours, you know, on an album. So just keep it short
it's
and simple.
Fatiguing. I don't care how good you are. It's just fatiguing.
No, right. Yep.
Get in, get out.
I think the standards of streaming now have kind of proven that people's attention spans are not there to listen.
Oh yeah. Everything like record. TikTok, everything's like a 1 minute video. It's like nobody has.
It's all sound bites. Everything's sound bites.
That's all it is. My son, he started getting into watching YouTube stuff and everything on there. So like so short. Everybody's screaming and yelling. Everything's got to be fast. So everybody's talking like 100 miles a minute. It's like, how do you even pay attention to this?
All slow down, people.
Yeah.
Just a little. It wouldn't be the worst thing.
No, it's insane. Yeah. But I was looking at some of your YouTube stuff. You guys actually played on a news channel, a news station?
Yeah, I work for WGN TV out of Chicago. So I happened to be one of the audio and the camera guys there. And I told some of the producers, like, hey, we do this version of Devil Went Down to Georgia. You know, maybe we should play it some morning. And he kind of teeter-totter with it and finally picked a morning and put us on there. And it wasn't too long after that. I think it was 2 weeks later. I got a call from one of the producers for the midday news because we have bands for the midday as well. And a band cancels, like, hey, can you get your band to play on here? It's like, yeah, sure. So we did the midday as well. It was all within like a few months of each other. Actually, we did it twice within like a few months because we played, I think it was October of that year. And then it was New Year's Eve that day we played. And it was the last thing they heard was me screaming at the end, going off the air. And New Year's Day was the next day.
Oh, that's perfect.
I was like, you know, that's a pretty metal way of ending the year.
Yeah, so, Happy New Year.
That was back in the Gears days. So that was probably Gears 07, 08.
Yeah.
Somewhere yeah, that was there. Pretty old,
so
yeah.
few years back.
But yeah, and they even resurged the video from our performance on the morning show when Charlie Daniels died.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they replayed it, so it got a little bit of extra love not that long ago. That was fun. We still have bands perform on the midday in the morning show, and I still work there and mix them.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I don't see any of that stuff here anymore. I remember like back in the day they used to do that stuff, but not anymore.
Yeah, there's only a few metal bands that do it anymore. Yeah, no, it's not very common. We typically don't have a lot of metal bands, although we did have Queensryche play the morning show once.
Oh yeah, wow!
That was they did it acoustically. They did it unplugged, but it was still all six of them. Jeff Tate was still singing for them.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So we had Rob Halford when he was doing his solo tour. They performed the midday show because we've had Foreigner, we have had Lacuna Coil.
Oh wow.
Because we had one of the producers we had at the time worked from one of the rock stations and got a job, and he knew all the connections, and he was booking big bands for us, and that was fun for a while.
You guys have had a lot of.
We had a lot of through there. We had a lot
over the years.
That's some good exposure too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we were set up for it. we're set up for.
Yeah, usually you don't see that stuff until it's like on public access TV or something, you know. Right.
And that's the thing. I mean, this morning show is the number one in Chicago metro area, so
you
nailed it. It's good exposure
for everybody. Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, you worked on Dismal Swamp during the pandemic. How was that? How did you get in like a studio? I mean, I know everybody kind of had to stay home, but did you break the rules and head into the studio?
Yeah, we broke the rules. I mean, I came out here to our, you know, Lotar studio here on average once a week. Mm. You know, we were, you know, still, you know, we were smart about things and we were pretty much only seeing each other. But yeah, for a few years there, I was coming out once a week to write these songs, demo them out, get them to the guys so that they can start learning the songs.
Now the other two guys, we didn't see.
No, it was just the two of us, Lotar and I.
Yeah.
And, you know, demo the songs, gave them to the guys and tracked when we were, you know, started to track when we were ready. But yeah, I mean, you can really say that the structure of the songs and the arrangements, you know, came together during, you know, the shutdown period, really. You know, I mean, a lot of artists and, did. A lot of bands did that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we made good use of the time.
I mean, the other guys basically just had to learn what they were given because we didn't have that opportunity to get together to rehearse.
Yeah,
you know,
point.
One of them's got, you know, kids. We weren't going to put him and his family in. The idea was to keep everybody comfortable with the situation, and they understood. Yeah. And so we did all the dirty work and creating the demos, say this is what we're hearing, let's try to work with this. And so when it came time to do the drum tracking, we pre-created all the click track and guitar scratch track so that he could just play along with me playing, and I'm sitting here kind of directing him through it. It was a different process, but because of, again, the nature of what we were dealing with when we were started the recording process late 2020 or early 2021.
It's a blur at this point,
but we started that recording process then, and it took us multiple months just to get the majority of the tracking done because of, again, people's timing schedules, who's sick, who's not. But we made it work. You know, the fact that we recorded this record and didn't rehearse together as a band to make it work. It's kind of astonishing. And some people, you know, people are like, well, how do you do that? It's like, well, a lot of bands have been kind of doing it this way to some extent.
Well, and I got to give kudos publicly to our bass player, Joey, and the drummer at the time, Mike Mosel, because, you know, like Lotar said, we basically said, here's new music, right? Here's eight songs, learn them. And then when we did get together, not to rehearse, mind you, but, you know, the actual tracking process, it was learn as you go. And those guys did a fantastic job learning those songs and the structure enough to where we could be pretty proficient with the tracking process.
Yeah.
You know, everything else took, you know, a long time to do anyway. So that would have just, you know, delayed things even further. But kudos to those guys for really cracking down and learning the material. And so we could, you know, develop them. You know, like they needed to be.
Right. Yeah.
Now, did you let them do what they felt like doing, like the drummer? You just let him, you know, put his own drum stuff down, or did
pretty
you?
Much.
I'd say
pretty much.
I'd say 90-10 on that. 90% let him do what he's doing. With 10%, little, you know, let's rein him back a little bit. But yeah, not a whole lot of drum cleanup was required, and Mike did a good job.
Yeah,
did a good job.
Yeah, we wanted to have their feel to it because obviously anything that I gave them was more just straight structure.
Right, right.
What's your frill going to be? What's your thing?
Yeah.
Your signature.
Yeah, so. I like that way better. Being a drummer myself, I can't play something that somebody else made for me to do.
Right,
right.
I'm not going to play it like you want.
It's just basically the tempos. What, you know, is it a 3/4 time? Is it a 4/4 time? Yeah. Or whatever it is you're working out. You know, there's some parts you don't want it to be in halftime because otherwise it kills the flow of what the vocals are doing. So that's why it made it a lot easier to create a full demo and play all these parts so that they could at least hear what the finished product is supposed to kind of resemble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, my playing is only so-so on drums and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I, you know, I do what I can to make it work, but it was at the same time, it's kind of fun to go through that process because, you know, you're having a little bit of a handle on what you think it's going to turn out to be because again, without that opportunity to really get in the practice room and work out the tempos and the cadences, you had to give some kind of idea because, mm-hmm. you know, because we did give, you know, every track, no drums.
Right.
Here's a click track. Here's the music. I took all the drums out and they had that to rehearse with.
And again, the demo to refer back to.
Right.
To get right, the right, feel. Right. Once the feel is there, then it's just a matter of resisting the temptation to overplay. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you've listened to the album and you can hear Mike's drumming style. And there's a lot of things that he does that you wouldn't typically expect to hear mm-hmm. a drummer do, but that's him. Right.
Right.
So yeah. Our job was to, when that tends to go over the top, just rein him in a little bit and play for the particular part, whether it's a verse, the chorus, or whatever. Yeah. And it, you know, it really didn't take too long for all of that to jive and to get to the point where we had some really good tracks to work with.
I mean, especially considering that the length of some of these songs, as you can see, are averaging between 6 and 8 minutes.
Right.
It seems, I don't know why this always happens with us, but we write a part
They don't seem that long.
But see, that's the whole idea, is that we didn't want it to seem that long. There's some bands that have 20-minute songs, and quite frankly, they should have stopped at 7 minutes.
Right. Right.
Because they're just repeating something, or something becomes monotonous. We want it to feel like you're kind of flowing in through a journey. And so the songs have a particular structure. And especially the longer ones, it isn't just the same part over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a donut structure. You go into another part for a little while that's not even related. And then mm-hmm. you kind of, at some point, come back to the main theme of what you started.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's how some of these kind of came together.
Yeah. It keeps it interesting. It doesn't keep you, you know, it makes you want to keep listening to that song instead of just, all right, I've heard this for, you know, 3 minutes now. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly.
So it keeps it very interesting and it keeps the album flowing. And you're right about the drummer. He's did a really good job on the drums. And I like the sound that you guys got for the album too. I think, did you mix the album too?
So what we did is John and I did the tracking. We got everything prepped and tracked. Initially we were going to do the mixing process, but a longtime friend of ours, Jerry, who's also a guitar player and played in another band called Mind Warp Chamber.
Jerry Buchko.
Buchko. He said, hey, would you guys like to mix this on some analog gear? And we're like, well.
There's Charlie Daniels again.
There's the Charlie Daniels reference, because he just happened to buy some gear from his studio.
Yeah, after he passed away from the estate. So we had a lot of really good gear. And it took a lot of the burden off of especially Lothar and myself in terms of the time to get the mixes going. A lot of that front end grunt work.
Yeah.
So, you know, pick it up from there. We went out to Jerry's.
Yeah, we went out there, had a little meeting with him, kind of just presented some of the idea, you know, the way we went about it. And he was totally ready to take it on. And we're like, okay, we're going to start exporting the files. We got everything to him. We spent, I mean, with our schedules, we did what we could.
9 months
of going out to his studio, which, driving from the north to the south side of Chicago, you feel driving down to Florida.
And honestly, we did get a little bit frustrated with the amount of time it was taking to get the album mixed. Not that we were, you know, on a deadline of any sorts, but the overall, you know, we worked on this for years, right? So we were anxious to get to the next step. Yeah. But the point of bringing this up is, even though it did take that 8 to 9 months, Jerry did a tremendous job. He had a lot of nice ideas with the producer hat on that made it on the album.
Yeah.
So when you, at the end of the day, when you walk away from this album, he really, so we co-mixed it with him, but you know, utilizing that gear and working with Jerry through some of those frustrations of how long things were taking really paid off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very happy with it.
Because, you know, the whole idea of getting some warmth out of this record was kind of a goal. We, you know, the first two records, Chuck Maychek mixed them. They turned out great. I mean, but we wanted something a little different. And I guess you could say it's kind of like, a little more organic, maybe is the best.
Definitely.
We wanted the sounds to be more organic and not something that feels like it's coming out of a box,
right?
Or a software program.
You achieved that.
in using as much as we can and utilizing the analog tones, I'm really happy with the result we got out of it. And that's kind of what I keep hearing is, wow, the production on this record's nice. And it's like, that's what we wanted to hear.
It's very professional. It sounds, you know, like you're one of the big top bands out there.
Thank you. We worked hard on it. Let's make no mistake. It was a lot of hard work. It was some ups and downs, in the mixing sessions. But again, happy with the result and very, very pleased that Jerry wanted to work with us and we stuck with it. And then, of course, John Scripp with Massive Mastering here in town works with a lot of bands.
Yeah,
he did the mastering for us and did a tremendous job to really tie those songs together. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, your average listener out there, you know, they don't know it because they couldn't know all the little things that go on between each of these songs and then you tie them together with crossfades and different elements of production to where you have a book.
It's all part of the album flow.
It's exactly right. And so we worked very hard on that as well. And John at Massive Mastering really helped bring that home for us. So just really pleased at all the hard work and working through the challenges with the result that we got. And, you know, we're starting to book some shows now, now that the album's out there and see if we can, you know, build a little momentum out of it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, in fact, we're playing with Flotsam and Jetsam next week.
Oh, really?
The Reggies in Chicago.
Are you also and playing with Splintered Throne? Or no?
Idle Throne. They're on the
Splintered Throne.
I don't think so.
All right, because another friend of mine, she's got a band called Splintered Throne, and they're opening for Flotsam and Jetsam too. So I thought maybe you guys were on the same show. That'd be a good show. You guys would be good together.
Thanks. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
It's going
to be fun. Flotsam and Jetsam is a fave of mine. So it'll be nice. And it'll be nice to play in front of their crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't. I wish they would come here. I don't think they've ever really come here in New York, at least for a long time, as far as I know.
Is that right?
I don't think they've been out here.
Well, they're a West Coast band, so maybe they got something against you guys.
Yeah, it's possible. Everybody hates New York.
They don't go east of the Chicago River.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is.
And actually, I think maybe a month ago, one of the top metal bars that we have here closed down.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the, it's called St. Vitus.
I've played there with the Skull. Yeah. In fact, came through there with the Skull and the St. Vitus tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that was the last time we played there. That's when we had Slayer Hippie playing drums for us.
Is that right?
Who was from Poison Idea. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's cool. Wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting tour. It was a 1 month tour. It was the Skull, St. Vitus, and Witch Mountain. And we did just an entire circle around the United States, and St. Vitus was one of the stops.
Didn't you play Reggie's too in town here? Because I saw Witch Mountain there with you guys.
Yeah. It was the same tour.
Well, venues are dropping like flies, man.
It really is sad.
I mean, they are.
Yeah.
It just is.
Especially here, it just seems like, I don't know where these people play. Like, even my band, we tried to book shows for somewhere, and there's just, like, really nowhere to go. I don't know. It's different from when I used to play, like, my last show I ever did was 2003. So, a lot has changed since then, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in New York, there used to be a place called Continental. All the bands used to go there. It just closed down, and with the pandemic and everything, a lot of stuff closed down. And the way New York City is now, I don't even want to go near there. So,
you know,
it is what it is.
Well, we live in Chicago, man.
Yeah, I know. It's just
upset.
Yeah,
it's getting pretty rough. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we're We still have a few decent rock. I mean, Reggie's is probably one of the stronghold rock clubs that's still hanging on, and they lasted through the pandemic, which is pretty astonishing. So I hope to see them continue. I think we got a
bass speak player, of the
stick
devil.
Your mug in here. Wow. Stick your face in the camera.
What's going on, brother?
What's going on? How's it going?
Bassist extraordinaire.
Good bass playing on the album, and can't wait to hear. You guys are going to start working on another album soon, or?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think within the next year. We want to do as much support as we can for this one. And then, but yeah, we're probably a couple of songs in.
Yeah.
With some ideas that we're going to start tooling with. So.
Very cool. Very cool.
Just got to find the time.
Yeah.
That's the challenge.
We're all juggling bands. I got three going. He's got a couple.
Yeah. So you have this. Is the Skull still going on, or what's going on with the Skull?
Yeah. Actually, we just opened for Candlemass, which was a sold out show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On a Tuesday night.
Wow. It was incredible. But what we're actually doing now, since Eric's not in the band, we got Carl, who was from COC on the Blind Record. And then the opportunity to get Scott Riegers from St. Vitus was also on the table. So we're basically, we've created this super group, so to speak, called Legions of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So still me and Ron from the Skull and Henry on drums, which Skull and St. Vitus, Riegers, and Carl both singing. So they'll exchange between different songs. And then, we got Scott Little on guitar, which he has also worked with Carl with another band called Leadfoot. And then he was around during the early days with COC when they were writing that Blind record. So he kind of fit right in.
Yeah.
So
very cool. Very cool.
So that's another thing. And that's, you know, so I'm balancing that kind of.
You're a busy man.
A little bit.
Between that and then you also have the record label too. Talk about that a little bit.
Qumran. Yeah. I've kind of had Qumran for years, more or less, to release my own stuff. But over the past several years, you know, me and Tony Spillman have been talking a lot from Spillage about expanding more and doing more bands on the label instead of it just being our stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, we really should look at that and kind of make it plain and simple, just, you know, a way for bands to get their stuff out there, metal bands, because, I mean, it's not getting any easier anymore, and now you got places like CD Baby that aren't even doing physical.
I think they'll be out of business very soon.
Yeah, did you know that? CD Baby dissolved their physical distribution, so they're only doing digital. So it's like, you know, why? I don't know. Probably because I don't want to deal with the shipping of a bunch of vinyl.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes when now you're storing vinyl versus CDs, right?
Right.
So Qumran, you know, I think we're up to about 11 bands right now. We've got, you know, Alchemy Fire, Diggith, which they're going to be coming back to the U.S. this summer to play Maryland Doom Fest and a few gigs with Lie Heavy out of North Carolina. So they're coming over from the Netherlands. And so they came over last year, played RCD release party, and also did a few gigs up in Wisconsin with another band on Qumran called Carbellion.
I know both of those bands. They're very good bands. Very good.
Yeah. Inner Siege, Power Metal out of Peoria. In fact, they actually twice now have opened up for White Cross, and they're playing some Christian Metal Fest coming up in Ohio.
Okay.
Not too long from now. So let's see. Vault, they're kind of like Opeth meets Riverside. And, you know, so it's kind of a mix of some of these different, some doom, some prog, some power metal, but you know,
it's a well-rounded metal.
It's well, we're not focusing on one exact thing, right?
Yeah, now. Yeah, good.
That makes sense. So.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. And Joey, what other? I mean, John, what other stuff do you have with bands?
Like I said, Megadeth tribute, High Speed Dirt. Go back about, I don't know, 22, 23 years. Pretty much old school Megadeth.
I was gonna say, what do you think about the new Megadeth stuff?
You know, I'm always going to be a fan. Yeah. Always going to be a fan. The the band is as good as it's ever been, believe it or not. Take Dave's personality as it is. Ironically, I saw him about 6 months ago, and I hadn't seen him for, God, probably a couple decades, believe it or not, enjoyed it. Enjoyed it thoroughly. So, yeah, so the Sacred Dawn thing starting in, I don't know, 05-ish, 05, 06.
05-ish, so we're...
High Speed Dirt around 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
And I'm a drummer. That's my trade, but... I amassed too big of a drum set at some point. I'm sick and tired of lugging them around, so I just wanted a new challenge. So I picked up guitar. It was a hell of a lot easier to move around, and kind of really never looked back.
Well, how big was your drum set?
Like 16 pieces.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
with oversized kick drums.
Oh my God!
And I said drums plural. Yes.
Yeah.
It was, and the hardware was all heavy duty. It was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, yeah. I used to go to the smallest shows.
Roto Toms.
I did have Roto-Toms.
I got some Roto-Toms. You want some? I'm selling.
No, I don't.
I had an 8-piece, and that was enough for me. It's enough. Much. Now I'm a 5-piece. I'm done with the big kits.
Yeah, it's you could. Hey, yep. There's a lot of drummers out there that make a 3-4-piece kit sound like it's a 4-piece kit.
Exactly, and I don't know how they do it.
A lot of them, if they're wanting the extra tom and they're doing the extra floor tom anymore, it's
right.
A lot of them are doing one mounted and two floors, and I think it's just a much easier and quicker setup.
That's all it is, because there's so many, especially when you play shows, there's so many other bands playing on those shows now that you got to get on and off that stage so fast. The less equipment you have, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Mr. Late Joey here? What's going on with
Joey
you?
Vega. No, please do this because I got to take care of some business.
All right. What's going on, dude?
What's going on? Well, you got any other bands besides Sacred Dawn?
Yeah, you know what? I don't. The only thing I got is playing with these guys, and that's hard enough to keep up with because they move so quick. So I just focus on one and try and make it as fun as possible. But we do that. So
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. And how was your time with you were on the album too, so how was it recording the album stuff for you?
Yeah, this was an interesting one. A couple of changes, and I'm sure they've already talked about this, but with the meat and potatoes of the album being written during the pandemic, we had to kind of come together. So I spent more time learning the songs than we used to get together and write as a team. But once that happened, we kind of got together and tracked, and I got to do stuff over here at Lowe's studio, as opposed to some of the other places we've done. So it was a little bit, new and different experience, but I think it was a lot more kind of intimate, and we could have more control. Whereas in the past, working with outside engineers, as good as they were, we didn't always have everything working on our timetable.
No.
And I think that was a big advantage with this record. And I think you hear it in the final.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. Cause I mean, at least being in control of how you structure and give guys the ability to learn it. It's like, do you need something different? Do you need the bass isolated and nothing else? And whatever we can provide those mixes. Sometimes if you're dealing with a studio, you're dealing with their timetable, their availability. This gave us a lot more freedom this way.
You always feel rushed and everything too. So
yeah. Now I think with the next record, there will be more mingling with rehearsing and writing out some stuff. And there's God willing, and there's always going to be songs that are going to get written on the fly. If I'm vacuuming the floor and I hear something in my head, I'm going to stop and go record that kind of thing. And seriously, I've done that. Well, mowing the lawn actually was a big one. You hear that drone in your head and you start singing around that drone.
Oh, yeah.
Get annoyed with it. It's amazing how many songs you'll write doing that. So,
yeah, definitely.
But I think it's always a little bit of a mix, but this particular record was kind of a different dynamo. So we handled it as best as we could, but yeah, I'm happy with the result.
Yeah. So. Definitely. I would be too. I think the album's really good. And I hope it, I hope people, a lot more people get to hear it. Because how is the fan base? Is it pretty strong or?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, because we haven't really been overly active in the past 10 years, and the past couple of shows we've been playing have been fantastic. Yeah. So that's why we're really looking forward to the Flotsam show. We just booked another gig out in West Suburbs that's getting announced at the Alibi, and there's going to be more. Because, you know, we were regularly opening for bands like Symphony X, Camelot, anytime they came through town, Epica, Loudness. I mean, because, you know, we have a good rapport with a lot of the promoters. So when we get on these opportunities, it's like we're going to take them. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. It depends on the statistics and what you deal with. But we're not done getting more shows. It's just a different kind of year and what's available and what's coming through, because several that we were getting ready for either got canceled or terms changed last minute. So it's a little bit of a slower thing, but I'm also, again, I'm dealing with my schedule also with Skull / Legions of Doom. and so I have to be careful, you know, how much I book myself.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we're doing what we can within everybody's time frame. So,
all right, very cool, very cool. I can't wait to hear what you guys come up with next, because this album's really good, and really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Thanks, man. Yep.
We really appreciated it.
Yeah, no problem. And again, where could people go to buy the album or see the band? Or
we're out there on, you know, the Amazons and, you know, the online stores, but people can go to Qumran Records .com. They can also go to sacreddawn.net, and there's links accordingly on there to purchase the record and or shirts, hoodies, whatever you want. And we have our MySpace and Facebook pages.
You have a MySpace?
No, not MySpace. Facebook. Oh,
it's 2024,
dude. Actually, I think
technically we still have
it. I think there is a MySpace
there is.
Page.
It's still there.
But... yeah. Oh my God.
Facebook. Something like that.
Not well. Oh God. Tom. His name was Tom. But anyway, that is funny. That the MySpace, I'm sure it still exists. I think it does actually, but it's a really weird picture. Like, I think it was when we played at the back bar. So anyway, but we got our Instagram page as well. So Sacred Dawn Music is how you can find us on both of those. And we handle those pages, so if you message us, you know, typically we'll be the ones to answer.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. Well, again, thank you, Lothar, and thank you, Joey, and thank you, John, very much for coming on the show. Had a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
And good luck in the future, and hopefully we have you on for the next album, too.
Yeah, good. Sounds like a plan.
All right, can't wait to hear it. All right, everybody, thank you very much for watching. RatsoundReview.com, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and also check out freeworld.fm, where I do a radio show every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.